Revelation chapter 22. You learn a lot about the new heaven and the new earth. You learn a lot about eternity and what we can look forward to. There's some wonderful descriptions. Can you imagine being John at this point? Remember, we said in the very first chapter that one of the things that you'll notice as John is trying to describe the indescribable, when he's being allowed to see things that we can't imagine, he'll use the terms like and as a lot. He's trying to find some earthly reference point where he can compare what he's seeing to something that we would have an understanding on here on earth. And can you imagine trying to describe heaven? Can you imagine that? So you're going to see that a lot. And as we read the chapter here, Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he saith unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then this little reminder, by the way, verse number 8 is interesting. You have an entire chapter, chapter 21, that speaks of heaven, and an entire chapter, chapter 22, that speaks of heaven. But it's almost like as we are caught up in the joys of heaven, there's this verse 8 that's inserted to remind us, folks, that the same God that made heaven made a place called the lake of fire. And not everybody that dies is going to go to heaven and be in heaven. We read in verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We'll stop there and we'll begin to teach. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. What wonderful, wonderful chapters, Lord. What wonderful news. As we go down through here, just guide us, Lord. We're just going to read and talk and comment a little bit. But, Lord, we're going to enjoy looking forward to a place that you've created for us. Let not your heart be troubled. These were the words of Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And it's wonderful to read about that place that you've prepared. We ask, dear God, that you'd encourage the saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John, of course, begins chapter 21 having just come off. You remember the list that I read to you last week when we covered chapter 19 and chapter number 20. We saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. We saw the second coming of Christ in glory. We saw the battle of Armageddon. We saw the doom of the beast and the false prophet. We saw Satan bound for 1,000 years. And then we saw him loosed for a season, the final rebellion, and then we saw the great white throne judgment, the doom of Satan, then the great white throne judgment. Now all of that is over. Now God remakes the heavens and remakes the earth. Verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Anybody remember that the Bible describes how that first heaven and first earth will pass away? The Bible says, you remember, it'll be consumed with a fervent fire, a fervent heat. And God will completely, he'll use fire to purge everything that has ever been touched with sin. You say, why did he have to make a new heaven and a new earth? Well, if you remember, Satan had been given access before the throne of God. It's almost like God wanted everything that's ever been touched by evil completely erased and reworked and redone. And, of course, earth redone. And I want to remind you of this. By the way, I'm a Bible reader and a Bible believer. What it says, I believe. Okay? Sometimes we have preconceived notions, and what we do is we try to force our preconceived notions. I said this to somebody the other day that believed in a false doctrine, and I said, if you have to spend most of your time explaining away what the Bible actually says, maybe you should stop doing that and just believe what the Bible says. And so I don't try to explain things away. I read it, and I preach it, and I believe it the way it is. But remember, folks, God is making not just a heaven for us, new heaven, but he's making a new earth. And it's very interesting as you read the picture, the story here of the New Jerusalem, verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now notice this, folks, coming where? Down from God. What's the next phrase say? Out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A lot of times this city that we are going to read about, the New Jerusalem, is going to be given in some detail. Many people talk about that, preach on that, and talk about that being heaven. This New Jerusalem is not in heaven. This New Jerusalem comes down from God, out of heaven, on earth. If it's the New Jerusalem, what do you think it might be replacing? Very good, the old Jerusalem. And so you say, oh, preacher, are you a Jehovah's Witness? I mean, these people think, no, I'm not. I'm a Bible-believing Christian, all right? I'm not going to make something just to make us feel better about something. God's going to remake the earth, and God is going to put a new Jerusalem on this earth. And you say, well, will you live on earth after we, when we get our glorified bodies? Will we live on earth? We live on heaven, or will we live in heaven? And I'll say the answer is yes. I mean, you know what? I think one of the wonderful things you read about and study when you look at the scriptures is that the new glorified body that we have is going to not be bound by the law of physics that we're now used to. And remember, Jesus was in his glorified body, and he appears in the upper room, and the Bible says the door was shut. And you know what? He appeared here and appeared there and came here and came there. And I think, you know what? It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know what? We'll be able to spend time. I think one of the most frustrating things about this world is the constraint of time. And I never have in my life ever felt like that anybody that I care about, that I've ever had enough time with them. I mean, come on now. One of the things that every one of you parents will do, will feel after your kids are grown and raised and out of the house, you'll look back and you'll say, boy, I wish I spent more time with the kids. And I never met a parent that said, you know what, man, I'll tell you one thing I did. I spent too much time with our kids, you know. And even with people, I'm not talking about you did wrong. I'm talking about you did the best you could. But guess what? We're all faced with time constraints, okay? And there's a wonderful old a gospel spiritual song that says, I'll stroll over heaven with you some glad day. And you know, you think about that, and just somebody that you always wish you had more time to spend with and didn't get to on earth, and just say, hey, let's go take a walk. And well, how long are we going to be gone? Who cares? Who cares? You know what? No watches, no looking at the clock, no crazy technology and cell phone alarms going off reminding me I need to be here in 15 minutes or there in 15 minutes, or you know what, just be able to have the time, not only to spend with the people that we've known here on earth, but people that we just have read about, and both in history and in the Bible, and to think of the stories. Folks, can you imagine the stories that are going to be told, and the experiences shared, and it's just going to be an amazing thing. And so I think this earth is a beautiful place. Those of you that have had a chance to travel some, you know, and Indiana is a beautiful state. I'll just tell you this. You travel a lot of the United States, you're going to come back home and say, we've got a beautiful state here. But there's just some remarkable places in this country. And listen, if this world is as beautiful as it is under the curse of sin, can you imagine how beautiful it's going to be when God remakes it? And I think it's going to be a blast. We'll have access to a brand new earth. We'll have access to brand new heavens. We'll get to spend time in the presence of God. And once every month, we'll gather at the throne of God, and where the river of life comes through, and the trees of life bearing 12 fruit. And I think once a month, we'll have a wonderful all-inclusive, amazing worship servants as we praise and honor the Lord. And then I think we'll, after that, experience some freedom and liberty and enjoyments that we can't even imagine. And then guess what? A month later, we'll meet back. So maybe you'll say, hey, Moses, what are you doing this month for the next meeting? Got some time? Care if I tag along? Sure, come on. I mean, I think it's going to be a wonderful play. Folks, listen to me. We're not all going to be floating around on harp, on clouds playing harps, all right? Okay, I mean, most of what the world's view of heaven or what they've tried to picture heaven, the honest truth is, doesn't really look that appealing to most people. But if you read what the Bible says about it, boy, it would be. I've had a chance to visit the Rocky Mountains, and I think to myself how beautiful they are, and yet that's under the curse of sin. What a wonderful thing to be able to see how God remakes this and restores it back to pre-sin, Garden of Eden type status, and all the things that we'll be able to enjoy. Hey, God made this earth the first time and filled it with wonderful things because he loved mankind. And he's going to do it again. And I think it's just going to be an amazing place. And so we see that coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And then verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so we see unbroken fellowship. Remember, folks, this is just the way God wanted it back in the Garden of Eden. He'd come in the cool of the day, and he'd walk with man, and he'd fellowship and talk with Adam and Eve. And we're going to have that restored because, you know what? What has broken fellowship has been sin, and sin is no more. Verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Two things here. First of all, God's wiping tears away. What's the last event in chapter number 20 that we study? What's the last event in chapter number 20? Yeah, the great white throne judgment. Folks, let me tell you something. That's going to be a sad day. We're going to be there at the great white throne judgment, and we ought to use this as motivation. This is good for a preacher to give you that. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. What I'm trying to do is give you good, solid Bible doctrine that ought to motivate us. But it's going to be a sad day to watch some of our friends and co-workers and neighbors and family members doomed to a Christless eternity. Some people believe and say this, but people say, well, how in the world could I enjoy heaven knowing my loved one has gone to hell? And the Bible, some theologians believe, and some preachers have preached that when God says that he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, that along with that, he'll wipe out that which causes us to mourn. And I think that's a very good possibility that the memory of those people will be taken from us forever, because it would be a hard thing for us to enjoy the eternities of heaven having, you know, the realization of people that we love are not there. But so God's going to do some wiping of the tears from our eyes, because I think most of us, all of us, to a certain extent, will have blood on our hands on that day. Come on now. There's times when you can look back in your life and say, you know, preacher, I missed an opportunity. And I could tell you the same thing where, you know, I should have witnessed somebody. I could have witnessed somebody. I could have taken a few minutes, and maybe we rushed past and made excuses. And then we see that person at the great white throne judgment. I can't go back and fix any of that, but I want to use that as motivation not to be in such a hurry and to be spirit sensitive as I go through my day and look for opportunities to witness and share the gospel whenever God gives me that opportunity. And then he says this, he starts this list, and you see this scattered throughout chapter 21 and chapter 22. I call them heaven's no-nos, okay? There's a lot of no's and neithers. There's some things that will not be in heaven, and there shall be no more death. Amen. You won't find a funeral home in heaven. No sorrow. Once God wipes those tears away, sorrow's gone, crying's gone. No more pain. There's people in this room that live with pain every single day of their lives, and it's to the point where you almost don't know you've forgotten what life would be without pain. Well, you're going to have an eternity to experience a painless existence. The former things are passed away. If you jump over, if you will, to chapter 21, verse 22, we'll look at a few more of these. And I saw no temple therein, We won't need a church building then. We won't need a building. You know what? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We'll be in the very presence of God. And then in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter it into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's going to be some things, thank God, that won't be in heaven. Chapter 22, verse 3, there shall be no more curse. No more curse. The Bible talks about how the earth groans under the curse of sin. There's going to be no more curse. We're really unable to understand that, picture that. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, for they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so John begins to list these things that are not going to be there. And he says in verse number 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And there's going to be, again, things that are not allowed in heaven. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And so heaven's going to be a sinless place. It's going to be a tearless place. It's going to be a painless place. And we'll enjoy it there. Now let's go back, if you will, to chapter 21 and verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne saith, behold, I make all things N-E-W new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And then he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them him that is athirst of the water of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And we have this picture, and I mentioned it earlier, and I think that we will have access to two things, the water of life and the fruit of the trees of life. And I think that is going to be what sustains us, what nourishes us, what allows us to have eternal life. And those things will be in the presence of God, and we'll have access to them. And we'll be able to take of that water of life freely. I mentioned a second ago, verse number 8 almost seems to be positioned to interrupt our joy and our rejoicing as far as, you know, we get caught up thinking of how wonderful heaven will be. And I think God on purpose puts verse 8 in here just to kind of remind us again. Folks, listen, look forward to heaven, but remember, you're not there yet. And there's still a work to do. People still need to be reached. People still need to be saved. And the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we must be busy. What should we do until Jesus comes? We should obey the Great Commission. Every opportunity we have, we should share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be busy, be busy. Don't ever get tired of it, folks. Don't ever get talked out of it. Listen, we are put here on earth as Christians, and the church has one main purpose, and that is to be a lighthouse, to spread the gospel, to get people into the kingdom of God. And verse number 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And again, we have this description of the New Jerusalem. And this is where you're going to see a lot of likes. We've seen it twice there in verse number 11. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we have the description of this New Jerusalem from verse number 12 all the way down through verse number 21. I'm not going to take the time to try to give a detailed teaching on that, because I want to finish chapter 22 while we're at it. But a wonderful picture of a beautiful city, something that we really can't imagine. And have a hard time, grasping mentally. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen some beautiful cities, but we've never seen anything like this. believe it or not, I was driving through downtown Indianapolis, and me and Brother Castle, we went up there last week, and we were commenting, you know, back in the 90s, the inner city of Indianapolis had a revival and a makeover, and they poured millions of dollars into the inner city, and what used to be kind of a dumpy, nasty place where nobody really wanted to go near, they've revived it and turned it into something quite amazing. But still, it's Indianapolis. Still, it's this earth. And I can't imagine. Can you imagine walking through that city? Can you imagine just looking at the buildings? How many of you like architecture? One of the things that I love about cities and our state house, by the way, oh my goodness sakes. How many of you have never been in the state house? You've never been in the state house. I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that will just blow your mind is the architecture. It's just amazing. Chicago was like that. I'll tell you, if you go downtown Chicago, because of the age of the city, I'd be walking with a group of guys, and they're a half block ahead because I'm standing in front of a building looking at the, you know, but can you imagine when God builds something, what it's going to be like? That's going to be remarkable. We've seen in verse 22, we won't need a temple to worship. We won't need a church house to worship. We'll be in the very presence of God. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. One of the things we talked about as we're presenting our theme and the second oldest doctrine of the Bible. Remember, there was darkness and there's light. And the second oldest doctrine of the Bible is God dividing the light from the darkness. And one thing we will never experience in the eternity future that awaits us is darkness. There, it will be no night there, because that has been banished. The author, the one who originated darkness, the prince of darkness, you know where he's going to be? He's going to be in utter darkness. That's where he's going to be. He's going to be in a lake of fire. And so God will rule and reign, and there will be nothing but light. And then the verse 25 talks about the security of heaven. There's not a city that has gates where at nighttime they shut the gates. Well, we don't have to, because there is no nighttime. And it speaks of the security. You think about this. We're going to talk about this a little bit this morning, but we live in a country where sometimes we feel like we're held hostage. You know, we think in rural America that, it hadn't been that many years ago. Nobody locked their doors. I mean, nobody locked their doors at night. We didn't lock our doors. When you left to go somewhere, you didn't lock your doors. How many of you, most of the time growing up, left keys in all of your vehicles, you know? I mean, you know, people can't think about that. They can't even imagine that. I mean, the only people that do that anymore is Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know? Keys and everything. Anytime you get bored, you want to drive a bus, just go out there and get one. Just drive around, you know? But we're the only ones dumb enough to keep doing it. Oh, I got a couple stories I could tell there, but I better not anyway. But we had the police come here one time, and I can't remember which time and why. One of the reasons that I get grumpy every once in a while, and I get up here and say, turn lights off and shut doors, and if you're going to be here, is you don't get the call at 2 o'clock in the morning from the Jaysville Police Department if there's a door ajar over here. I'm the one that gets the call, and I'm the one that gets in my car and drives over here and meets with the police. And one time when we were meeting together, they were over there in the buses checking out something because there was a trash can laying outside on the ground, and they thought somebody got in there and was messing around with the buses. I'm pretty sure it was a raccoon that probably got in there and grabbed it. But the guy said, oh, by the way, I don't know who drives this bus, but you've got to tell him he forgot and left the keys in it. And I got out a card and said, yeah, thank you for that. I'll make a note of that. What a dummy. I got to talk to somebody around here. Leave keys in. Who does that kind of thing? But a sense of security. I often think about this, I guess I keep trying to maybe say this to convince myself. I always say, well, I'm not that old, but, you know, 52 years ago growing up in this part of Indiana, oh, my goodness sakes, you know, Mom never worried about, you know, us kids jumping on our bikes and taking off and driving through the countryside, being gone a half a day and running around and all this stuff. Now, aren't you, come on, moms, aren't you about half scared to let your kids out of your sight? And I think just, you know, the wonderful thing about heaven will show up there and there won't be any fear of anything. There'll be peace. There'll be security. You won't have to watch your back. You won't have to, you know, give, you know, teenage girls like I do from time to time a lecture from the, those of you just got your licenses, you know, just listen, let me talk to you. You can't just park and not be paying attention and walk to when you're going to town. And, you know, how many times my poor daughters had to hear that, you know. And isn't it going to be nice not to have to worry about any of that stuff? No crime on the evening news. What a blessing. And then we get into chapter 22. And again, we see a continued description of the new heavens and the new earth. He showed me a pure river of water of life. It's interesting. You got the tree of life and you got water of life. Well, I think probably what they do is nourish life. Clear as crystal. Where does it proceed from? Out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So he's the source of these things. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare, now this is interesting, the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits. Now if we have an apple tree, it bears apple, and it does it every time. Tree of life is going to bear 12 different types of fruit. And yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nation. And so one month you'll come to the tree of life and it's got one manner of fruit on it. Next time you'll go and have a second manner. I mean, there's going to be so many things. Now, God just gave us one little detail about one tree, one of the trees. Can you imagine when we have an eternity to wander around and discover all the delights of heaven? And so that'll be... That again will be before the throne of God, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, verse 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And folks, listen to me. You think about all of the Old Testament. You think about all of the times when God would show up and men would hide their faces. You know, they said if we ever looked at God, we'd die. And God at times would show himself in a manner that was reserved or a partial manner so that men would not die by looking at God. And yet in these days we'll be able to look right into the face of God. Well, that's going to be something, isn't it? And the Bible says that his name shall be in their foreheads. The devil wanted to put his mark in his followers' foreheads. God's going to put his name in our foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I like what he says here. After he shows him all these things and have John writes it, he says this, these sayings are faithful and true. And he saith to me, these sayings are faithful and true. You know why? I think he put that in the Bible because after you read all of that, most people would say, well, that's impossible. I mean, that just sounds like a fantasy. I mean, you know, come on. And you know what he says? He said, listen, what I just had you see and write about is faithful and it's true. Well, I don't believe in heaven. Well, it's not going to change a thing. Okay, you not believing in it's not going to change a thing. I don't believe in hell. Well, you not believing in it's not going to change a thing. I don't believe in God. Fool said in his heart, there is no God. Doesn't change a thing. Whatever a man chooses to believe or disbelieve, they'll stand before God and give account of that. But you know what? It's not going to change the reality of what awaits us. Are you thinking, by the way, I don't know about you, I can't hardly teach down through this where I don't picture people that used to sit in this room that are walking those streets and enjoying all of that and watching, and they're already there. I mean, come on now, what a blessing. I think of all the way from little children, and you know what, if we saw where the children are, and it's a hard thing, a tough thing. I don't know if there's anything in the world that's harder than going to the funeral of a child. I've often said this to try to comfort parents. I say, you know what, if you could see your children where they're at and how well they're cared for and all they're enjoying, if you could see, if God would pull back the veil and you could watch them for 10 seconds, you'd never wish them back here. You wouldn't wish them, as much as you miss them, you wouldn't wish them back for 1 second. They're in a wonderful place. And those of us that are mourning, and you know, I think you go through a mourning process. Yeah, help her, Brother Dively, if you would. those of us that are going through a mourning process, you know, and I don't know if you ever quite ever get over mourning the loss of loved ones. And maybe you're not supposed to get over. I'm not sure you're ever supposed to get over that. I think it just becomes a part of who you are. But it sure is a comfort to read these things and to be able to stand sometimes at the graveside of a loved one and just open your Bible and just read down through here and think, that man, that's where they're having the time. Hey, don't cry for them. Cry for us. Amen. And then he says, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And I, John, we got to hurry up. I, John, saw these things and heard them. So he's given testimony. I saw these things. I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, "See, thou do it not." Didn't John do this once before? He just gets all excited, and next thing you know, he's worshiping an angel, and he gets pulled back up and said, "Snap out of it, son. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book." Notice the next two words, worship God. And that's what heaven's going to be about. There's only going to be one person. There'll be many servants and many faithful men and women that receive reward, but there's only going to be one that receives worship, and that's God. "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And folks, by this time, whatever decisions people will have made when it comes to Jesus Christ and salvation, those decisions will be irreversible. That will be the way it is for all eternity. And so, boy, take heed. Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." Didn't he say that in verse 7? He's going to say it again before we get done. He's reminding us, folks, this is closer. What you're reading about is closer than what you think. "My reward is with me to give every man according to his works, what as his works shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "and the bride," that's us, "say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You know, God presents all of these things. Listen, I don't understand people that believe in Calvinism, five-point count. I don't get it, man. Isn't it sad? Can you imagine God creating all these things, taking two chapters and showing it, and then saying at the end of that, "Oh, by the way, only some people are invited. And only some, this, I only created this for some. I'm only going to give the opportunity for some to be saved. I'm going to withhold conviction and I'm going to withhold grace from others." You know what? That's, you know what it says here? "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Never forget this, folks. God made us with a free will. God gave us the capacity to make a choice here. And God wants every single person to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. "And I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book." And I know we spent some time teaching on this when we did our 40 biggest issues and the preservation of the words of God, and the great warning here about taking away or adding to the words of the book of this prophecy. Folks, we don't need to change the Bible. We need to let the Bible change us. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Verse 20, "He which testifieth these things," say, here it is again, "surely I come quickly." Amen. What's John's response? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I like that John gave testimony, and I love the answer to his question. See, John was allowed to see this whole thing happen with his own eyes, and his response to the thrice given promise that he's going to come quickly was, "Oh, Lord, please. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." I want you to long for heaven. I want you to long for the second coming of Christ. And we need grace, don't we? We need grace in these last days. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these chapters. And just read a little and made some comment. But dear Heavenly Father, thank you that this is real, Lord. This is awaits us. Many of our loved ones who's gone on before, this is what they are. This is the arena in which they exist. And Lord, it's our hope, our blessed hope, that you would come quickly, Lord, and that we would be allowed, dear God, to enter into this wonderful new heaven, new earth. I pray, Lord, that you would please keep us busy until you come. It's encouraging to preview heaven, but may we not be lulled asleep. May we be busy, dear God, spreading the gospel so that all, as many as possible, can enjoy this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.